What the Lord dropped on my heart today is about taking up our cross here on Resurrection Sunday. You know, the resurrection life is something that is very important to us. It should be really important because, you know, we need to learn how to walk in that power that only Jesus Christ came to give. To me, it's the power to be able to turn something negative in our life into a positive thing. Also the way of taking something that maybe we've been defeated in and turn it into a victory that we have need to have in our life. Now, that's what we celebrate today. But I'll be honest with you. I don't get any more excited on Easter Sunday as I do any other day. Because to me, that resurrection life is something that we should celebrate each and every day of our existence. Because Jesus Christ made that possible, that we can walk in that power. You know, we talk about resurrection, and you know, that's hypothetical what you're supposed to preach on Sunday. I'm going to get to it, but in a little roundabout way. Because Sunday didn't really start, you can't start with resurrection, and we can't start on Sunday. Because technically, we got to start on Friday. Because what I found out through the Word of God, and through being able to, you know, study it, and also the experiences in my life, what God has done in my life, that only through death can we get resurrection. It was only through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ was we able to get that resurrection life through Him, and it's something that we need to do. A scripture comes to my mind that unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and that it dies, it only remains a seed. But if it dies, it's going to bear much fruit. And that's something that we have to remember in our life. It's hard for us to get our head around that how important death is. It took the death of Jesus Christ to buy us from our sin. And it also take us dying to self so that we can experience that resurrection life. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The scripture I want to look at is Matthew 16, verse 24 and 25. I hope I have it in English today. Last week I had a couple Greek ones up there by accident. Everybody kept laughing. I didn't know. I didn't even tell a joke, you know. So I was wondering, man, I didn't think I was that funny. And then I found out later that somehow we hit the wrong button. We do have technology issues here from time to time. Some of it's my fault. I'm self-inflicted pain. That's the worst pain, I always say. But it says, then Jesus said to the disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Let's pray. Father God, we honor you and we thank you for today that we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. Lord God, I ask for a special stirring in my heart today and in the gift that you put inside of me, Lord. I want to use it for your glory. We bind up the devil from trying to steal anything out of our life, especially the Word of God. And Lord, I thank you for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation and for your anointing to be here strong today, Lord, to be able to set us free. Because he who the Son has set free is free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about the skit. I feel kind of that's something that we need to do today. It was a very powerful skit talking about how our hands are important. Many of us, by the things that we accomplish in life here on this earth, is done with our hands. And it's really amazing. We just come out of a series, a couple of messages about, you know, God's masterpiece, how God has put inside of us and how he has made us, you know, in his image, but also the fact that, you know, we are his masterpiece and how he's created us to do certain things. And it's amazing, you know, when I think of Michelangelo and people like that are so good with their hands, but all of us use our hands for important things in life. You know, just a few minutes ago, we did a warm greeting to each other. We extended our hand. Now, how many have ever extended your hand and nobody has taken it? I mean, it's just kind of an insult, isn't it? But if you take somebody's hand, you know, it's a form of acceptance and greeting, so we can do that with our hands. It's also an act of love. You know, you grab maybe your loved one's hand, not in public, right? You know, I'm kidding, my wife. I don't hold hands in public that much. Everybody's got problems, right? That's one of my problems. You know, I'm not big on holding hands in public. But anyway, I'm getting better. I don't know if I'll get it right till I die or not. We'll see. Maybe in heaven. Amen. There's always a chance. There's always a chance. Now, how many remember holding their baby for the first time? Especially the first one. You know, they're all important. Don't get me wrong. If you were second or third born. I was first born. But anyway, especially the first, you know, you hold that baby, and just to feel that baby in your hands, you know what that means, and it's really exciting. And also the fact of sometimes you use your hands. Maybe you have a friend who's going through a hard time, and you take your hands and you embrace them and give them a hug, and just what that means to them, that you use your hands to impart some sort of love and some sort of blessing to somebody. Well, also, hands can be used in the opposite direction, because sometimes with our hands, you know, the brokenness of this world and the things that are going wrong many times has been accomplished with the hands of men. You know, we lift our hands in anger and hatred to someone, and we even strike them with our hands. You know, our hands are really made to be loving. And, you know, I just felt the Holy Spirit drop this in my heart. And please don't think I'm meddling, but I do meddle some. You know, parents, if you do spank your kids, don't use your hand. If your hands are for love, go out and get a stick. Amen? Come on, preach it, Brother Brad. No. That's why it's family day. I want all the kids to hear that. Praise God. No, I'm not kidding, though. You need a paddle, something that don't hurt, something thick and wide that doesn't leave a severe mark, and you need to swat them with it, because the last thing you want to do is to reach your hand out to one of your kids and they shrink away because they're worried that you're going to hurt them with your hands. So there's really a lot of truth to that. So if you want to hear some good techniques I have on spanking, I'm pretty good at it, because we needed to do that a couple of our kids. Amen. One of them's here today. Amen. No, just kidding. He's a good boy. He's a good boy. So all that happens. Also, people kill each other with their hands all over a piece of dirt, or because they don't agree with somebody over something. Also, you know, this evil thing that is in us called sin, that God had to intervene in our life. He had to step in and he had to make a difference. And, you know, because sin had not only separated us from God, but it separated us from each other. You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, sin has caused us to hurt each other. The last thing we want to do, but one of the problems that we have in our culture today is self-hate. Self-hate, how people hate themselves so much that they will cut themselves, or they will, you know, eat certain things or do certain things to hurt themselves, because, you know, Satan has just got that ingrained in their head that they're not worth anything. But see, that's a lie from the devil. You know, and it's caused us to even hurt ourselves as well as each other. You know, we hurt each other because of sin, because of jealousy. And that's where God's hands came in. You know, Jesus is the Son of God, and he came to do the ultimate intervention. Some of you may know what an intervention is. It's when a bunch of your friends get together and they see that you have a serious problem, and they come and they confront you about it. And see, that's what God had to do with his Son, Jesus Christ. He had to confront us about our sin. You know, man had developed a form of religion, and that religion was kind of like a placebo to some degree that helped us to get by, to help us to feel better about ourselves, but it didn't really set us free. And see, that's why God had to intervene, where he sent his own Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for our sin. See, we tried to fix ourselves. I don't know about you, but I tried to improve myself. I tried to fix myself. But the problem that I found out, and when I read the scripture in Galatians, that if I could really fix myself, then Jesus died needlessly. And that just kind of shocked me a little bit. And then I knew that Jesus Christ didn't come to make me better. Jesus Christ came to make me new. And that was the greatest revelation that the Lord gave me. And I experienced a new birth of being born again. Being born again is important, and understand what that is, because, you know, Jesus Christ came to use his hands to set people free. Now, in his ministry, I'm just going to mention a couple things. He broke the chains of sin that were holding people in bondage. One time, it's kind of radical, but he spit in dirt, and he took his hands, and he put it in the guy's eyes, and the blind guy could see again. I mean, technically, we were made from dirt anyway, so I haven't tried that yet. I was thinking about it one day, but I didn't. But laid hands on countless people, and they were all healed. His hands came to show us love, and the greatest love was that day when Jesus knew that the time was there, and he grabbed that cross, and it was laid upon him, and he used his hands, and he started to carry that cross. Now, one thing about that cross is that cross was not his to bear. Technically, it was our cross. Because we were the ones with the problem. He didn't have any problems. But he chose with his hands to carry that cross. Now, we have different measurements of love, don't we? Have you ever played that game with your kids? Oh, I love you this much, you know, and you put your hands this far apart. Or maybe love you this far, you know, 6 inches, you know, or 6 inches. Couple feet. Oh, I love you this much. They say, oh, I love you this much. Till you tell them to pick up your toys and you're back down to here again, right? You know, it's a sliding scale. You know, it just depends on if you do what they want, they love you. And that's the way people are. Only if we do what they want will they really love us. But Jesus Christ took his hands and he spread them wide. And he said, this is how much I love you. The ultimate act of love when he laid down his life for all mankind. And there's power that we need to experience because he's the only person that did that. Now, my parents loved me. I had a lot of friends that loved me. But when Jesus Christ, when I read and found out that he said, not my will, but yours, Father, and he laid his life down for me, it totally changed my life because I had never experienced that kind of love. Because what really happened is that the devil, if he really understood the whole picture, he wouldn't have killed Jesus because that was the biggest mistake he made. But see, Jesus went out and all through his ministry, he used his hands to help people. But see, what they did is they took him and he spread his arms wide and they put nails in his hands. And they nailed him to that cross so them hands could never be used again to help another person. At least that's what they thought. But out of those hands started to flow some blood. And that blood cried out forgiveness. You can't stop his hands. So out of those hands came the blood of forgiveness for you and I that we all can tap into and to be able to see, no matter what our sin is. We all come from different backgrounds. We have all maybe done different things. But we've all done something. To say we've not sinned, we're a fool. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so, what I feel is the fact that no matter what you've done in your life, no matter what size your sin is, one blood fits all. Amen. As for my freedom class, amen. We had a good night last Thursday night at Freedom Class. That's one of the things that came out, is one blood fits all. So no matter what you have going on in your life, experience that forgiveness. So how do we do that? Well, we take up our cross. We take up our cross. And to some, that's maybe scary. I don't know. See, if we take up our cross, it's how we reveal the love of God to this world. Now, back in the day, you know, Jesus even confronted his follower and said, once you put your hand to the plow, don't look back. So once you take up your cross, you're not supposed to put it down. And one of the problems, you know, that the American church has is that we struggle with the fact that we want everything without being willing to give up anything. And that holds us back in our relationship with God. You know, it's the act of surrender that brings the blessings of God in our life. You know, as long as we think we can keep it all, you know, that's why that scripture says if if you want to save your life, you're going to have to lose it. You're going to have to give it up. You have to give it over to God. See, Jesus mentioned going to the cross or carrying a cross to his followers when he said this. I'm sure that scared them because they knew what it meant to go to a cross. When you took up a cross, it was a one-way ticket. There was no turning back. You didn't go carry a cross and just lay it down. When you carried the cross, you were heading to your death. You were dying to this world. And see, that's what Jesus was trying to get through to them, but they didn't understand that. And what Jesus wants us to do, we can enjoy this world. It's not about giving up fun stuff. It's just not letting the fun stuff control your life. It's about dying to these things and coming alive to Jesus Christ and letting his life live through you, and the power of God, that resurrection life, is going to start to manifest in your life. Now, I've read a story, and this story means a lot to me. It's about Moravian missionaries. Now, my mom was from Moravia, and maybe that's why this word sticks out to me. But when I heard about them years ago, I've read this story, and it really impacts me, and I hope it impacts you a little bit. And I know that, you know, sometimes I preach a little more of a commitment message, and it kind of scares some people, but, you know, just follow God where you're at. You know, like we always say here, you know, just one more step. Get closer to God, one more step. You know, you don't have to run a mile the first day, just one step. And that's what I want you to do today. One step closer as you're carrying your cross to what God wants you to do. That's what it is. It's obedience. God has different calls on everybody here. Some are similar. Many are different. You know, you have your cross. I have my cross. See, religion says your cross is that you're supposed to get sick and die of cancer. That's your cross. No, it's not. That's a lie. God doesn't give cancer. That's Satan's job. Our cross is the call that God has on our life. And we got to follow that. And these Moravian missionaries, they come from over in the Germany area, over in there. And something about them, they kind of pulled away from different religion, and they kind of started their own deal. And in 1727, they were so committed to God, because what happened is they had a little prayer meeting where a few of them attended, and the Holy Spirit showed up. It was kind of like a Pentecostal experience. You know, it didn't say everything that happened, but let's just say when the Holy Spirit really shows up, you know something's different. So they were touched. Several days later, they made a commitment. They decided to pray 24 hours a day. So people in their group would take shifts where a man and a woman, probably a husband and wife if they were married, but each hour, they covered each hour of the day with prayer for 100 years. 100 years. They took up their cross. And they carried that cross of obedience for over 100 years, praying 24 hours a day for missionaries, for God to do something in the world. 5 years into the prayer campaign, something happened. A couple young boys, well, they're in their 20s, young men, they were touched by God. They heard a story. A slave had been, they was around a slave somehow, and he was telling the story about his family and his people that were taken captive out of Africa and taken to the island of St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands. And down there, they were made to be, you know, work in the, I think it was the sugar fields. And this guy had been exposed to Christ, because in his captivity, his owner or whatever might have been, you know, exposed him to Christianity, so he had been born again. And he was telling his story about how he lamented over his family, his sister, his loved ones, who would not know Christ. So these two young boys heard this. And they decided that they're going to go there. They're going to go there, and they're going to be missionaries. So they went to the mission organizations, and they said no. Number one, they were probably a little young. But they said nobody could go to that island. Only slaves go to that island. See, the owner of the island, I heard, was a British guy who was an atheist. He had turned his back on God and even said that if anybody is shipwrecked on this island, there's no way I will ever let them be in contact and tell the slaves about Christianity. I'm going to keep them separate. Now, that's cold. But these young boys kept being persistent, kept praying. And what happened then is that they even said, I'll tell you what, if you can only be a slave and go to that island, I will sell myself to slavery to pay my passage to get to that island. Now, history says they did it. Some say they didn't have to do it, but they was able to get there. But nevertheless, these two young men made it to that island. And as they was pulling out, you know, they had moms and dads, just like, you know, everybody else. And as they was pulling out from the boat, they finally had a boat that would take them. And as the boat was, you know, getting several feet away from land, they hooked their arms together and they said, "May the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. May the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering." They was willing to lay down their life for the cause of Christ. See, we travel by plane now, or train or plane, whatever it takes. They had to hop in a boat. I'm sure their mom and dad had a sense of pride, but they also had a sense of sadness because they thought they would never see their children again because it was probably a one-way trip. Now, the story ends that they went for a couple years and they was able to come back so they didn't die on the mission field. But through their efforts and through their desire, I mean, when these young people stepped out in faith, and I speak to the young people right now, don't wait till you get old to do something. Start now. You might be an inspiration. Because what they did, their inspiration caused over 20-some missionaries to leave several years later to go that place, go to the Virgin Islands. It says that the Moravian missionaries had baptized over 13,000 converts before any other Christian organization tried to go to that island. So that's what happens when you spend time in prayer. Now, this hope ain't scaring somebody never to pray again. You know, I don't want to be a missionary. I'm not going to pray. No, it don't work that way. God will never ask you to do something that you're not willing to do. He will not make you do anything that you don't want to. But see, it's the idea that something that once you become a Christian, we deal with a certain thing in our head and our heart and our attitude. See, religion says you got to. Christianity says you get to. You know? So you get to do things. And that's the attitude that we need to have. See, resurrection life is very important. Are we willing to be that kernel of wheat that falls down into the soil and dies to self so that we can have fruit bear in our life? You know? And that resurrection life is poured out. And we need to be able to lift up the lives of others. And that's what it's really about. Being a Christian is not just about getting to go to be in heaven. And that's kind of it's a good thing. I ain't going to lie to you. But the best thing is that you get to help other people. You know, we are the reward of Jesus' sufferings. He spread his hands wide for you and for me. I want to ask you today, what are we willing to do with these hands? Let's pray.